Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on Kent Business Radio and Biz Radio and Channel Radio. .co.uk/T. Sorry, I'm laughing my head off. Bird's just taking a big bite out of a biscuit. And I'm going to turn to her now and ask her to read an email, because I'm like that, really, aren't I? Hold on, I'll turn your mic on as well.
I was just going to spit some Garibaldi into the mic. Anyway, you all right?
Sorry about that, Bird. Yeah.
Peak performance coach with a Garibaldi in her mouth. That's what we like to see, consistency.
I was trying to catch up with Twitter, because Twitter's going mad and everybody's being rude. Yeah. About
which
me,
we
mostly.
Like. Why?
Well, Athelbrae, they've put a picture, a GIF, called Scouts Honour, yeah? Because mm-hmm. we were just talking about me being in the Scouts. And they said, was that in the very first troop in 1907?
How rude.
That's not nice, is it?
No. Well, answer the question, was it?
Well, obviously not. Okay. I was in the second one. Ah. Actually, if you really want to know my CV in the Scouts, I was in the... First best did Scarlet Pimpernel Scouts, and I was the Obergruppenführer, or patrol leader, as it's normally known, of the famous Eagle Patrol, and I was actually a Queen Scout.
I've got no idea what you just said.
No, me neither.
I'm really sorry. I've got no knowledge of this at all.
What, Brad, Scouts?
Any idea? Were you a scout?
No.
There we go.
No. I'm just telling you. But it's just, they're
were you a guide or a brownie or anything? I wasn't, don't worry.
I was expelled from Brownies.
No way.
Sorry, Brad.
I'm ever so sorry about that. Wow. Anyway,
that was... that was that. We've had loads of interaction about all kinds of things that we were talking about. And I was just trying to... Alison Palmer from FSB came with a great topic to kick off the new year, talking about willpower discussed on air on Business Bunker. Absolutely. Chris Hyde, willpower is similar to what you had on Business Bunker Extra Show on motivation the other week. Very true, Chris. Yeah, absolutely. And for me, willpower is the underlying thing with motivation. Yeah.
For me, there has to be something so powerful within you that there has to be something that I have to do. So, for example, and I see it on my show tomorrow, which is The Conversation on channelradio.co.uk.
Oh, a little plug there.
Thank you very much. But I see this complete consistency of behaviour. I see this pattern. You know what I'm like? I follow patterns of behaviour. And people always do something, and family is always the reason why they do it. So there has to be something so strong in you to create power. And that's all willpower is this strength. And that's when you get the locus of control and the psychology comes into it. But you've got to have something so powerful pushing you along, pulling you, drawing you towards something. So whether that's starting a business, or when you've started the business, okay, so then I struggle. Mm. I struggle in business. I mean, Brad, you've got Rift Accountancy. Does business ever not be a struggle for you?
It's always a struggle.
It's always a struggle, isn't it? Yeah. So willpower will run out. Mm. So, okay, so how did I then find a power then that's going to continue me on? So willpower is really interesting for me to talk about. Okay. Yeah.
We've also had Mark Goldfinch, Drive Your Marketing, has been on again. Talking about something we were talking about earlier. What I'd like to see in 2018 is more people understanding viewpoints other than their own, you know, from the conversation we were having earlier. Mm. And that's absolutely true. And he says, my favourite recommended technique is Karl Popper, and he's given us a Wikipedia link to find out about Karl Popper's thoughts on such things. So do follow Mark. Drive Your Mark is his Twitter handle. Do give him a follow and check that out. Tabitha has been on, marketing assistant. I'm a big fan of the Business Bunker Show. Thank you.
Nice. I know, we've got lots of fans coming in. Lots of fans coming in. It's really interesting. I've got a mentor and I love him dearly, and he's amazing. And I was talking to him the other week and he was saying, Barrett, you've got to stop this. And I said, I love being wrong. He said, no, you are never wrong. And he told me this story about this golfer who did this talk, and he said they were trying to say to him stats, and I don't want to say the golfer's name because I'm not a big golfer, but they were talking about stats, and this reporter stood up and went, no, I'm ever so sorry, you're wrong, you didn't do that. He said, no, I'm never wrong. And he, you know, so his success came from believing in his own belief that he was never wrong. So it's very interesting.
Absolutely. We've had a tweet from Athelbrae as well. It says, great interview with Pete. Important to have a coach who holds you to account, even with willpower, as you're saying. Mm. If they don't ask you the difficult questions, it's hard to progress. Thank you for the shout out too. We're actually managing to listen live today.
Yeah.
So, cool. Thank you, Kate.
But having a coach, the coach has to be truthful with you, mm. and that costs. Mm. And we were talking about this earlier.
Yeah.
And if you don't have somebody who's prepared to tell you the truth, then...
What's the point?
You have to be honest. And it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. And that's why they just get on with it. It's, mm. it, you know, it's, you have to do it. And that's mm. it.
We've also had a tweet from the lovely folks at Venom Tech wishing us a Happy New Year. So thank yeah. you to Dr. Steve, the scientist with the luscious hair, and all of his team over there.
And his spiders.
And his spiders.
Ooh.
Yeah. Cool.
Should I do some emails?
I'll tell you what, Bird. Why don't you do an email? That would be really good, wouldn't it? Don't you think?
Let's go a bit retro.
I didn't have any short ones for you either. They're all long.
They're
ones.
All long. Yeah. Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. That's not true.
Oh, did I sneak a short one in
there? That's
not bad. I think the short one.
I think that was supposed to be mine.
Nettie's not a fan of the email. She's trying to say she's really having a problem about it today, aren't you? Interesting. The new Romney Marsh networking group has arrived and it is up and running events. Oh, well, this is up to Christmas. I can't say that anymore.
No. I've crossed those out and there's the new
helpful.
Ones.
Marsh Networking over coffee in January.
Yeah.
Here we go. You Wednesday, the 10th of January. Yeah, that's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Sinkport Arms.
Maniona.
New Romney. And that will be 10 till 12. Marsh After Hours Networking, 23rd of January. It's from 5 till 6:30. The Ship at Dymchurch. It would be interesting, New Romney Marsh, to let us know which one is more popular.
Mm.
The timing.
I went to the first morning one. And I was absolutely blown away by how many people were there. I was really surprised.
Gender-wise, more women than men, or didn't matter?
Let me think. No, I think it was fairly evenly balanced. Yeah. No, it was good. Really good. I was really, really pleased. Terry's done a brilliant job with that. Well done, Terry.
Yeah.
ZC Live, it's back again. A one-day social media and digital event. It's happening on Friday, the 1st of June, and it's at the Strood Academy in Rochester. It's from 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. and it's free to attend.
They're a great day.
Fantastic. I've chaired the last three of those events and they've always been absolutely brilliant, really stacked with people. Learn how to accelerate your digital and social media marketing in your business. You'll learn how to create more leads by mastering key strategies over the whole day with international speakers, business owner and TV commentator Zoe Cairns. We also have a number of industry experts who will be sharing their tips and strategies. You'll learn five proven digital marketing strategies that have stood the test of time. That will give you more time, more results, and the confidence to get started, even with no experience. You're going to find out how to build your online presence and awareness, how to become a successful influencer, how to turn your knowledge into product, how to increase your leads via digital marketing, and build your business brand and be noticed anywhere. And that's ZC Social Media. Do give them a follow on the Twitter and find out more about that and book your free place.
Also, they've got some, just to follow on from that as well, ZC Digital Academy, free to attend Romney Marsh Business Centre, and that's on the 25th of January, 9:30 till 11:30. And then they've got another one, which is at St George at Chatham, and that's Thursday the 25th, 2:30 till 4:30. So again, Zoe, let us know which one is more popular, which timing suits people.
They are really well received, those as well, aren't they? Loads of people are getting loads out of that.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. There's another event, and this one's taking place in London, and it's Bell's Business Beginners Event. That's not easy to say.
Never heard of it.
Bell's Business Beginners Event. It's taking place at the Park Plaza Hotel in Victoria on Tuesday the 6th of February from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. And they're going to provide you the vital tools you need when starting a business. The following five things: law, the legal implications of hiring staff and how you manage them. Money, the most important part of running a business. You need to know how to manage your cash flow, how to get the most out of your accountant and professional advisors. Sales, know how to sell yourself, visibility, credibility, profitability. Marketing, identifying your ideal client and then using the right platform for you and your business. And running a business, covering lots of other areas that should be looked at when starting and running a business. With so much to think about when you start a business, it's easy to miss something out. And the Bell's Business Beginners event will give you the information and advice on the bits you must have in place to ensure your business is a success. We have four great speakers, each an expert in their field, who will take you through the important steps. Joanna Bell, who's the founder and owner of Bell's Accountants. David Taylor, who's the co-author of two books on digital and social media marketing. Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, who's the owner of Orchard Employment Law, HR and Employment Law Specialists, and Julia Bernard-Thompson, who is a high-profile sales and business coach. Bell's Business Beginners event is a full-day event. Lunch and refreshments throughout the day will be provided. And to book your place, if you go to butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/Bell's Business Beginners. That's butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/Bell's Business Beginners.
Canterbury Business are invited to Dementia for Business event Wednesday the 24th of January, 12 till 2 Westgate Hall in Canterbury. And this is Alison Carter, Alzheimer's Research UK Champion, Liz Taylor, Services Manager at East Kent Alzheimer's Society, will discuss the business benefits of becoming a dementia-friendly business and will deliver a free one-hour Dementia Friends session. They're going to cover a load of topics, so understanding the impact of dementia, supporting employees, supporting the people who may be showing signs of dementia. And that's Wednesday the 24th from 12 to 2 at Westgate Hall, Canterbury.
Fantastic. I've got some events coming up here that I'm going to tell you about. There's a LinkedIn for Business, an intensive workshop that will transform how you get new customers. And it's presented by Jay Pluck, and it's taking place on the 31st of January at Kings Hill. And for details, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk and click on the Business Events tab, you can find all the details there. As you can also for registering your business for the 2018 Canterbury Business Awards. The ceremony will take place on the 29th of March at the Spitfire Ground. That's the County Cricket Ground. So you can submit your business now. Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm trying to look at you round the monitor, that's all.
I thought you were going to tell me you were an international business again.
I'm not, I'm a global business.
Global business, sorry. Yeah.
Global.
But if you're not global and you're based in Canterbury, you can enter the Canterbury and East Kent Business Awards.
I'm not based in Canterbury.
Or, alternatively, if you're based in Maidstone and Mid-Kent, you can enter the Maidstone Awards, which now also include Kings Hill, Westmoreland and Eastmoreland. And the awards ceremony for that will take place on the 26th of June at the Great Danes Hotel. But at the moment, you can submit, whether you're in Canterbury and East Kent or Maidstone and East Kent, you can submit your nominations for Business of the Year.
I've just had an idea.
What's that?
Why don't we do a global award?
Global award, yeah.
Yeah, let's do it. Be quite a few
submissions, I think, Bert.
Yeah, we could do it virtually as well.
Or do you mean a global award for only those global companies that are in your street in Hythe?
That are only in global.
Yeah, that'll be it.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? Wheels to Work can help with a moped loan scheme.
I love this.
Do you?
I love this scheme. It's brilliant.
That helps your employees save money and gain freedom to travel as and when needed. Wheels to Work provide 50cc and 125cc mopeds with monthly payment. Why are you laughing?
You just imagine it's all coming to work like this.
On a moped.
Is this
two up on a moped?
Can you do a Lambretta? Because I'm on it.
Are you?
Yeah, I would love that.
I just can't imagine how long our staff would be in the toilets when they arrive getting their hair
sorted. Exactly. So is it a good scheme or not? That's what we need to talk about here. I'm ever so sorry, Wheels to Work, but we need to cover all aspects. The cost of the road tax, insurance, breakdown assistance and servicing is all included within this. They will also provide, here we go, essential clothing, a waterproof jacket with protection, a high-vis sleeveless over jacket, a crash helmet and a waterproof gloves, and make sure the employee is trained and safe to drive. I love this. The applicant must be 16 or over, live in Kent, either have a firm offer of a job, apprenticeship or training course, or already be in work, training or in college. They must also check there is no easy public transport for their journey and that it is too far, unsuitable for a bicycle, though they also run a separate scheme for cyclists. I know about the cyclist one.
Absolutely. So
you always make me worry when that happens.
What? Me pointing at you?
It's not powerful.
Loaded. It's not loaded.
It's always loaded.
Oh, yeah. Well, funnily enough, moving on from that, this is the reason why you should have a moped, apparently. Yeah. It's official, and it says it here, so it must be. It's official. Commuting makes you miserable.
I agree.
A report compiled by the Office of National Statistics has found that daily commuting takes a toll on most commuters' sense of well-being. The ONS said that commuters have a lower life satisfaction, a lower sense that their activities are worthwhile, are less happy and more anxious than non-commuters. Not surprisingly, the worst effects on personal well-being were associated with longer journey times between 60 and 90 minutes. Taking a bus to work for longer than 30 minutes has the worst impact possible. Mm-hmm. Get a moped. The report's findings reflect what most people feel intuitively, that spending long periods travelling to and from work every day is not good for your well-being. Often a commute is unavoidable, and as the report points out, undertaken for family and financial reasons.
You can tell that you don't have to do your hair.
What?
I said it. You can tell that you don't have to do your hair.
Are you trying to tell me something, Bert?
No, well, I'm not being funny, but if you've got hair, you've got to do your hair, girls. And it's like you've just said about coming into work.
Hold on, I'm not being funny, but if you had hair... I haven't had hair for 35 years, love. Don't worry about it.
Then you wouldn't... I love the moped thing.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to take my helmet off and the flowing hair comes. It doesn't happen, does it?
You ride a bike. You must.
I know.
You
but
must wear
you
a bike
the
helmet.
State of me that I look. I don't wear makeup. I dribble because I'm trying so hard to get as fast as I can.
She's from Plymouth. She's from Plymouth, so she talks funny as well.
I raced on New Year's Day in Bethesdom. There was a time trial. Yeah. Who does that on New Year's Day? That's just crazy,
it's
isn't
crazy
it? Anyway,
people.
Hello. Yeah. It was pouring with rain, and I loved it, but it looked awful. My teeth were out. I was dribbling mess. It was hilarious. So it's difficult.
Get a moped, love.
No,
it's easier than a bike. You don't have to pedal.
Anyway,
enough of that. Mm. We're actually going to do something quite sensible
please,
now.
Please, Brad,
last.
Take us away from this.
Yeah. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome our next two guests onto the Business Bunker Show for today. We'll start with Nettie, because we normally do.
I forget Nettie's a guest.
Yeah.
In a lovely way.
Yeah, thanks. she's like
just
a picture. She does remind you of a chair somewhat, doesn't she?
I feel so special.
You do now, don't
so
you?
So special. Yeah. I keep rocking up. You keep getting me to breathe.
See, she's a rocking chair.
You're family and you're one of us now. That's all I want to sing to you.
I don't know what to say. Well, last month I didn't come. I said,
no,
I know, we missed
noted.
You. We actually sent out a search party for you when you weren't here.
Did you?
Some bloke called Chris was wandering around here. Yeah, Chris was wandering. We got, no, excuse me, Chris, where's Nettie?
Yeah. I thought every now and again we should send him out, but he had a really good show.
He did indeed. Yeah, he did indeed.
And,
yeah, and it's great to have you back. So, Nettie, tell us Happy New Year to you,
thank
first
you,
of all.
And to you.
And thank you for joining us once again on the Business Bunker Show. You've brought an interesting guest with us
this time,
haven't you?
You've got up now.
You've got to be on your best behaviour this week.
Well, I can only try. Yeah. I can only try.
I know, it's not working very well so far.
Brought my boss with me.
I know.
Now, that's never happened before, has it, Brad?
It hasn't.
And now I've found out that you've never been on the radio before. So if he doesn't enjoy this, I may not have a
good
2018.
You could be in trouble. You could be in big trouble here, Nettie.
I know.
Well, why don't you introduce yourself? Give him a big build-up and then maybe you'll get away with it.
Yeah. Well, what do I say? This is Brad. Mm. He's our MD at Rift. He's in charge of everything Rift. Yeah.
Cool.
He took over as MD last January, and he's absolutely delighted to come and join us today on the radio. Look at that face. To talk about Rift and all the different things that we do. And obviously this month is tax return month
as well. It's a biggie for us. All hands to the pump.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Everybody digging their shoeboxes out with their receipts in.
Absolutely. And there's also other things going on, such as Kiba, that we can talk about and so on and so forth. So, lots going on at Rift.
Thank you for that intro.
I'll let you talk to Brad.
Thank you. Brad, welcome to the Business Bunker Show.
Thanks for the invite, Paul.
It's an absolute pleasure. I'm glad we could invite you, and I'm glad you came along, and I hope you do enjoy your first experience of radio. This is radio like no other radio, obviously, so it's of not much use to you anywhere else, but do enjoy it. Brad, can you kick off by telling us a little bit about you? We're going to talk about Rift and all the things you do, and there's a lot of things that you do in Rift these days. We'll talk about that in a minute. Give us a little bit of background into you. What's your background? And your interests outside of Rift?
Okay, so I started my career as a management consultant.
Right, okay.
Working for Accenture, big global company.
Mm.
I was employee 1 billion, or whatever it was at the time, and I was working with a lot of clients. I'd worked there for about 10 years,
right.
And I was doing it the commute.
Right.
So I was in Faversham commuting up to London,
right.
And it's soul-destroying.
Yeah, absolutely.
My mum started the business, Rift, back in 99, and for about 2 years before I joined, she'd been asking me to go and join the firm. And I'd always sort of thought about carving a career for myself in London. We had a house there for a long time, then moved out to start a family. But I got to a sort of that crossroads in life, And started to then take more of an interest in that family sort of business and saw such potential of what we were doing. We were scratching the surface of what we could be doing. We'd started to get some really good material out and there was a really niche market for what we were doing. So I took the leap and joined the family business. That was sort of 7 years ago.
Right, okay.
Took over as MD January 17.
Last year.
That's where we are now. Yeah. And it's been the best thing I've ever done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Aside from the two children, obviously, if they're listening.
But it's interesting, though, isn't it? Being involved in a family business, one of the nice things is that you had a career before that. Yeah, because sometimes you see people involved in a family business that have not ever worked anywhere else, and that can be quite difficult. Then.
I think so. They know no difference.
Yeah,
exactly. And I think it was still hard for me having to prove myself. Mm. You know, so when I joined, I was employee number 34. Mm. We've now got 170.
Right.
So going from to a very small business, and particularly going from Accenture, where it was thousands, hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah.
But I still had to prove myself. I still had to show that I was worthy of becoming the MD and leading the business and taking it forward to the next.
And that's always difficult in a family setting, isn't it?
Because
people assume all kinds of things about why you've got the job that you've got.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And what are your interests outside of work?
So two children, 9 and 4.
Right, okay.
Sorry, Freddie. So they take up huge amounts of time.
Yeah.
But they're at a great age. Freddie's getting into a lot of his sports now.
Right.
So ferrying him around.
Touchline dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Bella just goes with the flow. She'll go wherever Freddie goes.
Cool.
So that takes up a lot of stuff.
Mm.
It's family.
What's your favourite sport yourself?
Love watching rugby.
Mm-hmm.
As a sport, I played hockey.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Throughout school, throughout university. So trying to get Freddie into that.
My oldest son was a National League hockey player.
Yeah.
So I've actually played hockey twice in my life. Yeah. Both when I was very old. And my scoring rate is immense. Yeah. my scoring average is one goal every 5 minutes I've ever played.
And how many minutes have you played?
That's 5.
That's because he was in the goal.
No, it wasn't.
Own goal.
But my oldest son was a big hockey player and played hockey for many, many years. He's retired now. That's how old I am.
Oh,
he's retired. Yeah. Brad, thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you tell us and tell the listeners about the types of different things that Rift Group do, because you've got a range of businesses. And as you identified, you know, when you joined the business, you saw the potential to do lots of things. But some of the interesting things you do are quite niche businesses, aren't they? Or you do things in a niche area.
Yeah. So our core business has all been around these tax refunds for people who travel to a temporary place of work. So lots of construction workers, lots of armed forces personnel. They're our two biggest sectors.
Yeah.
But it's a real niche area.
Mm.
So it's all about people who use their own vehicle and drive to a temporary place of work.
Yeah.
And they don't get reimbursed the full 45p per mile.
Right.
So lots of employers do pay that, but many don't.
Yeah.
And that's where we step in. We help individuals understand what they're entitled to and help them claim refunds. Typically, we go back 4 years and we get about £600 to £800 per year. So first claim is about £2,500.
Okay, that's cool. So are those claims with their employers, or are they mostly self-employed people that can claim it back from HMRC, as it were?
So all of it's claimed back from HMRC.
Okay.
Which is great. Mm. So it's all overpaid tax.
Right, okay.
In essence. Mm. But a lot of the people are PAYE.
Yeah.
But they just don't get reimbursed the full allowance.
Right.
Obviously, self-employed people, and particularly coming up to January 31st, tax return deadline day. I've got a few stats that I'll throw at you.
Yeah, go for
it. In a bit.
I like a stat.
So there's lots of people. So 11.4 million people have to do a self-assessment tax return each year.
Wow.
Any ideas how many people missed the deadline?
11.3 million.
Oh, I'm loving the quiz.
Yeah.
40%.
I need a number. No, that's way too high.
Yeah, yeah. 200,000.
Third?
100,000. Let's go half.
Letty, you want to have a go?
I reckon it's somewhere in the middle.
It's 840,000.
Really? Don't fill it in time.
Who missed the deadline, yeah. So there were some new fines introduced as well. Mm. People are aware of that. So if you miss the deadline, it's a £100 instant fine, even if you owe no money.
Yep.
Or even if HMRC owe you money.
Yep.
You get £100. So that's £84 million that HMRC earned.
by earned, yeah, quite, in inverted commas.
What a great business model.
So we go back to willpower.
Yeah.
Why are people
not
doing it?
Yeah.
I think it's all a fear of dealing with HMRC.
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely. You couldn't be more right if you tried. I mean, this is the problem, isn't it? Is so many of us are bad at paperwork anyway.
Yeah.
So many of us are bad at arithmetic and adding things up. And then when you add on top of that, this, you're terrified of doing the wrong thing and getting on the wrong side. My old dad, bless him, I lost my dad in the middle of last year. And my dad had a building company for years and years and years and years and years. But he was also disabled and had been disabled from birth. And he was deaf. So he struggled with, you know, stuff like that. And he was so mortified that he would get on the wrong side of the tax authorities, especially working in construction, because back in the day, the tax people hated people in construction because you had, you know, the black stuff and all that stuff going on where people weren't paying their taxes. My dad used to go and pay his taxes 8 months in advance, and he paid it in cash, so he knew that they had it. And HMRC used to get really annoyed with him when he'd turn up at the local tax office and offer to pay his tax in advance. But he was terrified of getting it wrong. And I think you're absolutely right, Brad, you know. But then how do 800,000 people miss the deadline? Yeah. It's not as if they don't know, is it?
No.
They definitely get notified.
Well, do you have any thoughts on, you know, I mean, so many people in the last week have been going, oh, tax return, Bonnie, and I must do my account. So everybody knows. Do you have any thoughts on how they actually managed to miss the deadline? Is it because they've forgotten and haven't done it, do you think? Or is it because they keep leaving it and leaving it and leaving it until the last minute, and then all of a sudden they realise they don't have all the data, or, you know, they can't fill it in or whatever, or, you know, it just takes too long? What do you think?
So I think a lot of people, if you put a deadline in front of them, they work to that.
Yeah, and so
they'll hold on and hold on and hold on. Mm. And there'll be lots of people who then suddenly circumstances will come in and they'll miss that deadline because hospital, whatever it could be, just personal circumstance gets in the way.
Yeah.
I think there are also other people that just genuinely don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And so they know that deadline's looming. They get there, and they still haven't figured out what to do, and it just lapses.
Mm.
But the fines are incredible. So after 3 months, if you still haven't sorted your tax return out, you start incurring £10 fine per day.
Mm. Per day?
Per day.
Right. For the next 90 days.
Blimey.
So if you then get to 6 months, that's £1,000 fine.
Right.
You then get another £300.
It's a lot of sprint money for HMRC, this, isn't it?
If you still go on, and if you go for a year, it's another £300. So it's £1,600 as a fine just for missing that deadline. And even if you don't owe any money, so you might be there going, I don't owe them anything, so I don't need to submit tax return. But unfortunately, if HMRC have asked you...
You have to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's very little you can do about that.
Mm.
I suppose I think the question is how can we support those 800,000 to support their taxes? How can we do that?
Yeah, so there's... there's lots of companies like ours that will provide that service. I think there's a wider education piece, and HMRC, I think, are trying to get there. They're moving a lot of stuff digitally. So they have a big campaign around making tax digital.
Yep.
So it's about individuals having their own online tax account, a bit like an online bank account.
Yeah.
They are several years behind that curve of the banks. But I think they've got such a complex legacy set of systems that trying to get those to talk to each other is so complicated.
Yep.
And that's what's been holding them back, plus all the political side that they have to do.
Sure. Yeah.
I also think they've suffered in the past with a PR sort of issue. So if you think back a few years ago, there were all the billboards with the eyes peering out of you, so we're coming to get you.
Yeah.
So from instantly. So no one likes HMRC.
Absolutely.
Because of that attitude of we're coming to get you.
Mm.
They've started to soften that. So campaigns this year all around farmyard animals sort of prodding you. But they've got a long way to go.
Sure.
In terms of, I think, getting people on side and people wanting to deal directly with HMRC. So if people aren't confident about dealing directly, then they need to either use a friend, a family, or a service that can...
Let's talk about the service that RIFT offer. Give us an overview of the kind of things that you can provide to people.
So right from the outset, we'll have an online form, just a simple questionnaire to see whether you actually need to do a tax return.
Right.
Fact. So you can just go on there. It's on our RIFT refund site. Mm. And you can simply click through and you'll know one way or another whether you need to do a tax return.
Okay.
So that's part one. And that's obviously free to use. Mm. And that'll give you some confidence whether you need to do one or not. And then we will do a tax return service. So last year we processed or did 45,000 tax returns.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So we know how to do a tax return.
That's handy.
Yeah, so we do them at bulk. We do them very quickly. We know what we're looking for. Mm. And when you think about doing a tax return, there's all manner of things you have to take into consideration: people's incomes, how much tax they've already paid. And there's lots of people who fall into the category of needing to do a tax return that might not know.
Right.
So you've got your standard sort of self-employed individuals. They all know they have to do one. But you start to get a few other people that sort of creep into the net. And I think this is going to come more and more, will be people who have an income from things like selling stuff on eBay.
Yep, sure.
So it's a little side project.
Yep.
Airbnb becoming more prevalent.
Yep.
Of people renting out their houses, getting an income. They don't see that as an income.
No, exactly.
Necessarily.
Yeah.
But if they're starting to earn over £2,500, that's money that HMRC want declared and tax paid on it.
Yep.
There's individuals, so if you or your partner earn over £50,000 and are still claiming child benefit allowance, that will start to need to be paid back.
Right.
So you'll have to do a tax return if you're still claiming that child benefit.
Right.
You have to declare that on a tax return. So there's lots and lots of little nuances of people who start to get picked up.
Mm.
And then if HMRC just decide they want to look at your affairs,
yep,
because they think you've underpaid tax in the past,
mm,
they'll issue a tax return.
Absolutely. Cool. So, 45,000.
Yeah.
Nice. okay, so you can do tax returns for people. And it really is, if with Brad saying that you could, if you don't do it and you continually don't do it, you can end up paying £1,600 to HMRC for just missing the deadline. And you still got to pay the tax. It's not as if you get away with
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. It's not a bargain.
Yeah,
you really
yeah. It's not.
It.
So, paying a specialist to do it is really the answer, really, isn't it?
So I've got an interesting client we had, came to us in October last year, missed all the deadlines. Was £1,300 in fines. So he came to us in October, didn't know what he was doing, buried his head in the sand.
Right.
So we helped gather all the information he had. We then uncovered that he actually had a refund as part of what he was doing.
Right.
So we cleared all of that off. So come December, I think on the 23rd, got everything, we submitted it to HMRC, and we got him a refund that not only cleared off his £1,300 fine, it also left him with a refund of £1,500.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go.
So there is money there
that
HMRC won't publicise.
No, absolutely.
Title T.
Yeah.
And I think using, in that sort of, it might be an isolated case, I'm not saying we get refunds for everyone, but there's money that you can claim back for that you probably don't know.
Absolutely. I mean, the fact is, if you haven't paid attention to your tax affairs, you don't know what situation you're in. You might owe more, but you might not. Yeah, and that's the whole point, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's very clear from HMRC that you as a taxpayer are responsible for your tax affairs.
Yeah, absolutely.
That they are not there to mother you.
Yeah.
They're there to get that tax.
Yeah, absolutely. They're not going to tell you what you can claim, basically. Absolutely. But you are, and that's the main thing, isn't it? Because, as you said, you started your business in a niche business, helping people reclaim money that was owed to them for travelling to places of work. Tell us about some of the other things that the Rift Group does, Brad.
Yeah, so we started to think about how we might diversify because it's such a niche area.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we wanted to grow the group. So two key areas then came out. Mm. One was R&D tax credits.
Yep.
And the other was Rift accounting.
Yep.
So both of them operating. So accounting is known about. We've had accountants for a long time. Mm. But we looked around and thought there's a better way of providing this sort of service.
Mm.
So going with ClearBooks, so accounting, online accounting software from the start, and just making ourselves far more savvy and supporting businesses more than what we saw as the traditional accountants of we'll see you once a year and you'll give us your books and we'll tell you how much you owe and the tax you have to pay and it will all be hidden fees, you won't know how much it's going to cost. So trying to be upfront from the outset, monthly fees, and then the key USP for us was around a quarterly business review.
Right. Okay.
So actually really working with the businesses to make them successful.
Right.
Because ultimately if they're successful, they'll be in business longer.
Right. Yeah.
We'll be their accountant for longer.
Absolutely.
And it's win-win.
Yeah.
So that was a real key drive and hence Nettie sort of leading that with Chris to really work with local businesses and make them successful.
Absolutely.
And then our R&D tax credits was a real shift from sort of working with a B2C community going to B2B. And that was interesting in itself. We had a huge amount of lessons learned in that space, trying to apply the same models that work for B2C to B2B. It just doesn't cross over. And that was
absolutely
really interesting from an outsider's perspective. Living it at the time wasn't. but in hindsight, it was great business sort of experience to go through. But this is a really excellent scheme. And HMRC do publicise this a little bit more. Mm. But it's keeping in line with the sense of getting a tax refund back.
Mm.
So we know how to work with HMRC. We know there are refunds available. So R&D tax credits is all about working with innovative companies and helping them recover money they spend on that product development.
It's interesting, isn't it? Rift, quite a while ago, now a few years ago now, did an R&D tax refund for me, which worked very well. And it's an interesting thing, isn't it, about R&D tax credits? It's something that the government are very keen on. Mm-hmm. But when you tell people, they don't always quite believe it. You know, would you like some cash back from the tax man? And they go, yeah, really? But it is. And I read a statistic once, and you may have better stats than this because I make a lot of mine up. The government estimate that for every £1 million they return in tax credits, they make £4 million in new investments and new tax takes. So that's why they've extended the scheme and started to publicise it more. But it's surprising, isn't it, how many people don't think that they do R&D unless they've got someone in a white coat in a lab.
Exactly that.
Yeah.
And I think one of the real untapped areas that we're hoping to work a lot more with is the construction sector. So these construction companies deal with problems day in, day out.
Yeah.
But they just see it as part of what they do. They build stuff, they do stuff, they solve problems. They don't see that as R&D because they don't see it as developing.
Yeah. They didn't do it in a lab. Yeah, absolutely.
So that's a really interesting space to be operating in. And it's really great working with a lot of really interesting, dynamic businesses who are doing some really interesting, innovative stuff.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Get some money back.
Talking about that as well, kind of tying things together, when you were talking about ClearBooks, Tim Foraker, the founder of ClearBooks, was on the radio show 2 years ago. Tim's taken a sabbatical from ClearBooks now because he's working on this really, really interesting project. I don't know if you've seen
it's
this
the
project.
Cards, isn't it?
It's the card. It's where your entire business operates off of one credit card. And as far as I understand it, the idea behind it is every time you spend everything, it updates your books instantly when you spend the money. Yeah.
I think that's the end goal.
That's
isn't it?
The end goal, isn't it? The end goal is that as a business, it's only for businesses, for small businesses, is that you have a card
and then you spend your card, you use it online or do whatever, and it just updates your books as you spend it.
So it's like a feeder, isn't it?
Yeah.
So like the ClearBooks bit is a feeder in where it starts to work its way through, just like your bank does.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. Mm. Shoebox sales could fall through the floor. If you're in shoeboxes, get out now. There's
but
got
it's
no
interesting,
future.
Wasn't it? Because we had Phil on, didn't we? Was it October time with ClearBooks? And he was saying the same thing, that people cannot keep avoiding this whole software bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it works the same with R&D. It's so much easier if they've got that stuff and they work with our guys and know exactly what information we want them to keep separately in their accounts.
Yeah.
I think the world is moving far more digitally.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, HMRC have held back for so long, but now they have this huge agenda, making tax digital for individuals and for businesses. Mm. And whilst that may have been put back a couple of years, because I think it's such a complicated thing they're trying to do, it will happen. And the quicker every business, every individual embraces that, the better for everyone.
Mm. Brad, can I ask... You came into the company.
Yeah.
Was your vision the same as the vision that was already in the centre of the business? And where are you taking it now?
Wow. My mum, I don't know if you've ever met my mum.
Mm.
She's hugely entrepreneurial. Mm. Trying to sort of contain that.
She might listen.
That was very democratic.
All of those brilliant ideas. So the vision. It's really hard to say because I think when I joined, there wasn't a 5-year plan. There wasn't anything. We were going year to year, and I found. Found an old presentation we did the first year I joined, and just looking at the numbers that we were doing, so like celebrating we had done 5,000 claims, I mean down 45,000. It's just a totally different beast from what it was to what it's become. So I think where it will go. So my mum's the chair; she's still very heavily involved, and she's almost an ideas factory. So she will come up with lots and lots of ideas and throw them at the wall.
And do you control
we'll catch
her?
Them. No.
You can't. Right, interesting.
You can't control ideas, people.
No,
you
exactly. Can't. You can't. Yeah.
But what you can do is take them and very quickly work out whether they're a viable idea or not. And so we now are trying to sort of have that sort of rapid turnaround.
Mm.
Here's an idea. Let's go. Let's explore it. Let's see if there's any business mileage in it. And if there is, we'll invest more and we'll invest more.
Interesting.
Or if there's none, let's kick it to the curb and then and another one is bound to come out.
Mm.
So it's about constantly managing those ideas.
And being the CEO, has it been what you thought it was going to be?
So I guess I was being groomed. Shall we say?
Yeah. And that's the way it should be, isn't it?
Exactly.
To be honest with you, that's the way it should be with all these companies.
For the year beforehand, I was very much sort of prominent and sort of leading it, albeit behind the scenes. So I was making a lot of the decisions, sort of shaping where we were going, the teams we had around us and what we were trying to do. So that year sort of in the shadows... enabled me just to, in that first year, just carry on through where we were heading. So there weren't any big shifts. It's not the sort of company that needs to make those big dramatic changes. We're on a very good path. So it's all about how do we maintain that as a growing company. So now with 170 staff, it's 170 peoples to feed, keep their mortgage going.
Absolutely.
That's a quite big responsibility. So that aspect of it, I probably was unprepared for. So that additional pressure to make sure that we're still keeping everyone in a job. And that's when you talk about, is it a daily struggle? Every day is a struggle to make sure that people stay motivated. We're keeping on that focus, keeping on that right trajectory.
How do you overcome stuff?
It's a coaching session.
No, I'm sorry. Because I find it really interesting. Because we, you know, to have a leader like you, I want to know what makes you do what you do. How do you overcome stuff?
So, overcome the challenges.
Whatever.
So we've got a great team as our directors. Mm. So we work very closely together. It helps that we're all in the same location, and we will meet every day just to go through whatever the challenges are. So that's one aspect. I have a mentor as well, who I bounce ideas off, who is just that sounding board to go, am I doing the right thing?
Mm.
Sure. In that sort of safe space, who knows the business, but who can also then just say, stop doing what you're doing, ask these questions and all that sort of thing. So,
love it.
Brad, thank you so much for that. Sadly, we've kind of run out of time. We're right at the end of the show. But Brad Post, Managing Director of Recruit, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunk Show. It's been an absolute pleasure and a fascinating discussion. We've had loads of tweets while you were on the air. I'm just going to read one because I know a bit about the background to this, and it's from Chris Hyde. He says, I agree with Brad from Rift Accounting. HMRC have been had a poor reputation in the past, and it's not been helped when you get snotty letters when it's not your fault. I happen to know because Chris rang me late one night saying, I've just been threatened with court by HMRC for not paying my tax, and I've paid it. And as it was, HMRC had actually credited it to the wrong place, and they did actually apologise to him, but they were quite brutal up front. Yeah. So, Brad, thank you so much for that.
And
sorry to have to cut you a bit short, but we are right out of time now. I've got a couple of things I did promise to mention, so I'm going to try and get them in. The absolutely lovely Angela Bryer Stevenson has asked me to mention her Sea of Calm Sangha Mindful Walk in the Woods, taking place on Saturday the 20th of January. We'll take a guided walk in the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds Bleam Woods National Nature Reserve on Rough Common Road in Canterbury. It's part of the Bleam Reserve. Please note that there will be going to Bleam Woods, a wonderful place for quiet walks in ancient woodland. Our aim is simply to walk slowly and gently with mindful awareness so that we can connect deeply with nature. If you'd like to find out any more about this, do follow Angela Bryer Stevenson on Facebook or on Twitter, and find out more about that particular thing. I also want to make you aware of the Business Bunker Extra Show, our sister show, on Friday at 11 o'clock. And Amanda Flanders, who's the presenter, will be presenting the show with her guest, who is Paul Greengrass, and he's from QS Support. And the lovely Molly Wright is co-hosting that show. So that's the Business Bunker Extra Show at 11 a.m. on Friday. And this week, Amanda and Molly are joined by Paul Greengrass from QS Support. I think QS Support are quantity surveyors, if I remember rightly. So do tune in for that. It's a great show and much fun with an interesting guest. But we've kind of reached the end of another show, really.
It's gone quickly. It's gone
really quickly
today,
hasn't it? Yeah.
Big discussions.
Absolutely. Just to tell you what's coming up after this on channelradio.co.uk/2, at 4 o'clock, we have the lovely Natalie Benaig. Happy birthday, Natalie.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. She was... No, I won't. I'm not going to tell her age.
No, you should not.
It was
I'm
a big
rude.
One. It was a big one, though.
No, that's enough.
It was a big birthday for her.
40.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to go 30, but there
were
you go.
Nice.
Happy birthday, Natalie. Anyway, Natalie's on at 4 o'clock with Kent Creative Show, talking about arts and creatives in Kent. Don't look at me like that. There's a good girl.
Out came the wiggle.
So that's Kent Creative Live Show at 4 o'clock here on Channel Radio. At 5 o'clock, we join Channel Radio 1 for Mr. Craig Avery, the lady's favourite, the man with the stripy socks, for 2 hours of celebrity interviews and music. That's the Craig Avery Show from 5 until 7. And then at 7 o'clock, we join Mr. Joey Whaler for the Rockabilly Show from 7 till 8. And then back here on Channel Radio 2 at 8 o'clock, you can hear this all over again, because today's Business Bunker Show with me, Bird,
and
Nettie
me.
And Brad will be repeated from 8 o'clock until 10 o'clock. And then, of course, as soon as we're off air, we are treated to...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
1, 2, 3, get down!
Cool drum beat at the squidgy bass. I give you Vanilla Ace and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So as always, on a Tuesday, we round off the evening.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Sorry about that. As always, on a Tuesday evening, we round off with Mr. Boy George and the Culture Club show at 10 o'clock on channelradio.co.uk/1. But that's it for another week. You've been listening to the Business Bunker show with me and Miss on a Bike.
Miss on a Bike,
What are you up to for the rest of the week?
I've got Dan Holbert on tomorrow's show. So he's the refurb coach. He's a property investor. Looking forward to talking to him about basically his loves, his loss, his values, his beliefs, how he brings this business together and what he sees in the... He's talking a lot about refurbs at the minute. So I'm really interested in that, how he's taking his business. You know Dan, so
yeah, I do.
It'll be
yeah,
a
I do.
Great show tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, so that's going to be interesting.
It will be.
Yeah. We're talking to Dan about doing a show of his own on the whole property market, because we think that's an area that's got quite a lot of potential.
Yeah, but it's funny, Brad, you said, is this a coaching session? It's just what I do. I want to know about you. I don't really care about the business. I want to know about what you do, why you do what you do. So, yeah. And of course, I'm marathon training, so yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're biking anywhere?
Yes.
You're not going to tell us where, though?
Well, I'm racing, running,
Yeah, because I've missed your early morning Facebook Live.
I know. Do you know what? I've stopped doing them. I'm testing the potential of them.
Yeah.
But I probably will go back to them, because it seems that everybody goes, oh, my God, where have you been? So it's building that tribe, and especially with a book coming out soon, so that it'll be marketing, making it, The Woman Scorned and all that.
I'm really looking forward to that. Anyway, that's another thing. Listen to Bird Wednesday, tomorrow, Manana.
1 till 2.
1 till 2 on The Conversation. But that's it for another week. Thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. We'll be back next Tuesday with another show and some more great guests. Have a fabulous week, everybody out there in the business world in the southeast of England. Thank you all for tweeting, emailing, Facebooking and all the other ways that you've contacted us today. And we look forward to hearing you from you again. Have a great week. Bye
Much
for now.
Love.
This is Channel 2. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.